Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren. Second week of the month, and as always, we find ourselves in Terre Haute with Mayor Duke Bennett in person this time, and we missed you last month, so it's been a couple of months. Good to see you. Thanks for having us here in Terre Haute.
Yeah, it's always good to have you here, and lots to talk about, so it's always an exciting time.
Yeah. Let's get to some of the new stuff that I heard about and want to get your take on this. And I know some of this is county related, but would love to get your take. The first thing I came across was Vigo County looking for an RFQ for a feasibility study on a sports complex and water park.
Right.
What's that about? How much does that involve the city as well?
Yeah, we're half partners in that basically. So it's the CIB that's doing that. And it's kind of our next big project after the convention center that we're beginning to look at. It fits into our tourism model of our community plan. It fits into the quality of life component. So what we're trying to do here is we've got, you know, many communities have done this. They've gone out and built some athletic facilities, and we're not trying to recreate or, you know, outdo anything. We're not trying to be a Westfield kind of a Grand Park environment. But a local facility that probably have four baseball diamonds and four softball diamonds, probably some indoor facilities later, possibly a Rex baseball stadium. They're looking at doing their own stadium. And then we'd like to have a water park, a destinational kind of a facility there. So on maybe 100 acres somewhere here in the community, we would have this complex. So we received some ready funds to do the preliminary feasibility study. So we're in the process of negotiating that contract. We should have that. We've identified the company. We're negotiating the final contract. We hope to approve that at the end of this month and get them started in that feasibility study. So it's an exciting project. Ready funds to kick it off, but the CIB would own and control this entity as the next piece of what we're doing as the CIB.
CIB, do they also look over the convention center?
Yes, that's our only project right now, but you know, we get food and beverage tax money in that feeds that, and we're looking at our next, beginning to start looking at our next projects, and this would be the next big one.
And this is very early in the process, so really right now you're just looking to see
feasibility study. So we'll make sure that our market will sustain this, you know, what we're, the scope of what we're thinking about is a doable project. And I believe that it will be, but that's why you have to walk through these. You have to have a professional and outside entity look at it and tell you whether it makes sense to move forward or not.
Let's get an update on Turn to the River project. Mm-hmm. I see Art Space is asking about $1.5 million phase two. It's more of a, it's about a $1.8 million project. Can you fill us in a little bit about what this is?
Yeah, so it's there's five phases of the project. The first one was completed, you know, between City Hall and the courthouse. Now they're looking at doing additional phases as we move forward. And so one of the requests they have is to the CIB for some funding for the future phases. And we're taking that under advisement. A presentation was made last month at our meeting, and we will probably, we'll do something to help them out with that and maybe do some more in the future. This is a multi-year project. So part of the legislative piece of this, when the state approved our CIB, the ability to create a CIB, there's an arts component in there. So we are able to use those food and beverage tax funds that come to us for arts related projects. That's why they made the request.
You know, Bloomington's looking in Monroe County to start their own CIB. They don't have one yet. What goes into creating a CIB?
You know, you have to have legislative approval in essence to, I don't know, how you're going to fund it. So a lot of times the food and beverage tax is associated with that. So the framework was laid in the legislature to have that funding source, and then we created the CIB based on the existing state statutes that were out there. So, but you have to have some kind of funding source. So whether it's local funding or not, you kind of have to have that figured out before you create the CIB. But all based on statute. And so we're moving forward. You know, the convention center was the big one. Now we're beginning to look at some other pieces.
So phase two of Turn to the River project, what does that entail?
An area out here to the south of City Hall that will be encompassing, tying it into what's, you know, in the first phase. And then on the north side, it's an area that goes across the parking lot more towards the river. And then there's a piece between the courthouse and the jail. So they're trying to figure out which comes first, but it'll be all part of that next two phases that they're trying to fund.
And these are projects that would enhance the area into a more visitor.
Basically getting people from downtown, you know, across Third Street, through the government campus to the river. And so it's a multi-phase project to accomplish that corridor, if you will.
It's funny seeing Columbus trying to do the exact same thing there, where, as Mayor Lineup always said, we used to turn away from the river years and decades ago, and now we're seeing it as an economic tool.
Exactly.
Turn to the river, and it's exactly what's happening.
About 12, 13 years ago, we recognized the same thing, and we've been moving towards that ever since.
It was a groundbreaking for Veterans Village. Mm-hmm. How did that come to be? Why Terre Haute?
You know, I think a lot of people look at what can we do to help homeless veterans. I mean, I think that's a very targeted area. There's a lot of groups out there, a lot of organizations that are always looking for ways to help homeless veterans. The Terre Haute Realtors Association stepped up and said they wanted to do a project. So there was some land donated to them. They're going to build 6 houses and in a smaller little office building there to provide services. And they're just the owner of the property, if you will, but Reach Services, they're going to contract with to kind of operate it. And so there'll be, you know, an individual living in each of these small homes or tiny homes, and then have services provided on site with them. I think it'll be one of several that'll probably come. That's what my gut tells me, that these will be pretty successful because of who's involved with getting them built and then who's operating them. We do need to continue to find ways to help our veterans, and you hate to have homeless people who are willing to be helped, but they have nowhere to go. There is no place for them. And so trying to create that opportunity for a housing for them, hopefully they'll only be there for a short period of time. They can move on and get their own home. Once they have that stable environment, I think that'll go a long way towards helping people to be successful.
You know, something we've always talked about here on this show is the sewer, the long-term control plan and the sewer overflow project, which I know is still something that has always been on the docket here. Yeah. We talk about what's the next phase? What are you looking at now?
So we're looking at about a $300 million plan that we've submitted to IDEM and the EPA to re-up our existing plan. We've already kind of spent all the money that was in that plan that was approved several years ago now. Of course, they want more work done to continue to capture more stormwater and not let it go into the river. So it's about $300 million worth of work that we hope to do over the next 30 years. And that's what we've asked for, is 30 years versus the typical 20. So we're negotiating. We had our public meeting recently. That's, you know, got to check the boxes off. You have to do certain steps along the way. We did that, got great feedback from the people in attendance, no big issues. We think we got a good, solid plan. It's just now going to be up to IDEM and the EPA whether they give us a 30-year plan versus a typical 20-year plan, so we can keep rates down as much as we can and do these projects and knock them off, pay old debt off, and then be able to use those funds to move into new projects. It's maddening in a way. It's so much money. It's so much work that needs to be done. But you're under the gun of, you know, the federal government. We have to do it. We don't get to say we don't want to do it. We're on a river, so we have to reduce that amount of raw sewage and or, you know, just stormwater that goes into the river, which we've cut back. We've done it. We made great strides, but they expect you to do even more. So it's tough. It costs a lot of money, and a lot of people don't see it. It's underground. It's not something that's visible. And that's a hard sell for people to pay more on their sewer bills. So we're trying to stretch it out as long as we can so we can manage those sewer bill rates as much as possible.
Yeah, and it's not something like a new convention center or a water park downtown.
You bought this. Here it is. You can use it. This is something you flush your toilet, you have storm water in your neighborhood, and you want it to go and not go directly into the river because it's dirty. Mm-hmm. And it's not cheap to do these things.
Now, you said $300 million.
$300 million worth of, yes.
So how does the city look at that and say, how do we fund that?
Well, some of it's up front, but we have to do the main lift station. That's probably going to be about $60 million of that. The other projects are just a wide variety of things that will happen over the course of that plan. So there are all kinds of different things that help us capture the stormwater, expand our sewer system, our collection system. The treatment plant's already been built. We've got that part of it. Now it's the collection side.
Anything new city council-wise, ordinances being looked at or?
Not really. You know, we did the end of the year business last week. Everything went great. We had to move some money around to deal with diesel and gasoline prices as everybody's faced. We had a few other expenses that kind of exceeded line items a little bit. So we made those final, council approved all of those unanimously. We're going to finish the year strong from that perspective. You know, moving forward, I think we're still looking at some zoning things we'd like to do here to tighten up some things on certain types of businesses. But, you know, really, things are going well. We're more focused on external, what we're going to do with the ARPA funds, ready funds, those kind of things, and how we build future budgets to make sure we support all of that versus, you know, there's always cleanup work to do when it comes to ordinances, but I don't see a lot of new things coming.
Well, and you just mentioned ready grants, something that this area, this region received, and now already looking forward to next year.
Yeah, we received $20 million for this region. We'd asked for 50 and we didn't quite get that. We're setting ourselves up to hopefully get the $50 million in round two if this legislature approves it. I hear that it'll be, you know, an agenda item. And so we're going to bring some projects over that didn't get funded. We'll probably have some new ones. So we're working on that ahead of time, so we'll be able to tell a good story. If this does get approved, we'll be ready for round two next year.
New jail, is it fully operational?
Yep, fully operational, pretty full. They're down there. They're still trying to figure out what to do with the old jail and the dispatch center that remains. I talk to the commissioners about that regularly. They're working through that process, but the new jail is up and running. Everything seems to be going great so far.
Any word, I know it's early, but any word on the transportation being, you know, so far away from the
court? I've not heard anything. Yeah. I've not talked to the sheriff in the last few weeks, but when they first got it up, I talked with him about a few different things. We had some issues with bringing bond money back to City Hall. People are going to City Court. You know, some little just logistics things that we worked out. I haven't heard any transportation issues, but, you know, that's one of those things that if from the city of Terre Haute's perspective, we want to be supportive of whatever they're doing and go to bat for them if they need additional resources. But that's where the jail is. That's where it's going to be for, you know, the next 100 years. So we got to figure out anything and everything to make it as efficient as we possibly can for everybody that utilizes that facility.
On the way out, I might drive past the casino site just to see how it's going out there. Any updates or anything?
Yeah. No, not really. I mean, they're working on things. You can see the activity. They got a big crane out there, and they're working. They're going to come back at some point and officially tell us it's probably going to be the first quarter of 24 before they open. But, you know, that's nothing that we didn't expect. So moving along on that.
And I know the city was working on infrastructure too in that area.
Yeah, we've got that all worked out with them, and so very minimal activity that we'll need to do at first. Over time, as more things come out there, I think there'll be some bigger projects down the road, but we'll have everything we need to get the casino open to support all of their traffic flow.
Does Terre Haute have e-scooters?
No, we do not.
No. And what was the decision?
I've been getting requests, you know, from companies that would like to, you know, do that. We've not acted upon anything yet. So it's just, I think that's in our future, as it is in many places, you know, that either it's there or it's coming. We got to figure that out. So that'll be one of the things we'll be talking about, maybe from an ordinance perspective, how we would manage something like that. But right now, no.
Yeah. Well, do you have concerns?
You know, I hear things from other communities, you know, they're left laying on the street. I mean, they find them in the river, you know, or in the canal. You know, they're a bit of a safety hazard for some people. You get kids on them that are being a little irresponsible, and people are concerned about that. I'm not as concerned about those things because we don't have that much pedestrian traffic where it's going to be a conflict, I don't think. But we're hopeful that as we move forward, we'll begin to have more of that. So if we do it, we want to do it right, I guess is the bottom line. Mm-hmm.
Larry Bird Museum, have you heard anything more on that?
It's moving. A lot of it has to do with just Larry's collection and the agreements that we have with the NBA and Larry and all that. So the legal work continues, the build out continues. Soon we'll be able to finalize the displays and all of that. They'll get ordered. You know, I'm hoping by the end of next year that we can get it open, but we're not committing to any specific date yet until all the legal agreements are worked out, and then we know what the timeline is, the supply chain issues on the ordering of the cases, so, and that kind of display of material.
So, you know, we didn't see you last month, election month, we're heading into a new year. Are you running for mayor again next year?
I'll be making that announcement soon. I think about it every day, obviously. I've always waited until after the election to not get caught up in those in the county and state elections. I typically make some kind of announcement before the end of the year. And so I'm seriously considering that and trying to figure out some timing of some things that if I do move forward with that. So I love my job. I love what I'm doing. I'm excited about the future. It's one of those decisions that you don't take lightly. It's a major commitment. Anybody that runs for mayor will tell you that. It's more than you ever expect to do. The hours are long, and sometimes the positives come from the community working hard together, and that's what we've seen. And it's an exciting time right now. So I would say we'll put out something regarding my future plans very soon.
All right. Well, this is the end of the year. And last show until 2023. I looked at a year ago today to see what we talked about, and it was the COVID, of course, restrictions.
A
lot of that. And now here it is a year later, but now we're talking about the flu and heard about 11,000 people in hospitals in I forget what region of IU Health, and I assume that's a big story here,
too. It is. There's a lot of people who have the flu. I mean, we've seen a lot of illness here in City Hall in the last few weeks. Fortunately, it doesn't seem to be a really terrible, terrible flu, but I think our immune systems are down. We went through COVID, we wore masks, all of that, and I guess I'm not surprised. I'm not a scientist or a medical expert in any way, shape, or form, but it kind of makes sense that we're seeing that. But there's a lot of RSV too. A lot of young kids are seeing that. I've even some strep throat I've heard about. So my guess is it's going to be kind of a rocky winter because of all that. COVID's still out there. But hopefully, as we move forward, that's a thing from our past, and we'll get ourselves and our bodies back to where they were to fight, and have the resistance we need to kind of knock those things down as much as possible. Once again, no expert, but seems like we're going to be kind of having a sick winter here, it looks like.
Yeah. So as we wrap up the year, what are some of the things that when you look back at 2022 that you're really glad that you got done?
Well, we had our first full year in the new police station. It's worked out great. I hate to not, talk about that because that was a great win for the community. We got the convention center open. Couldn't be any more excited about that. Every month, business continues to build. Our budget was solid for the year. We're going to finish, balanced again with some excess revenues that will go into reserves. We reduced our borrowing, our TAW, the temporary borrowing we do. We were at a high of $9 million in 2017, I believe, and now we're down to $1.5 million for next year, and I'm hoping to be zero in 24. So that's a huge win for us. We've seen a lot of businesses open. I've had significant amount of ribbon cuttings this year. We've got some big businesses that are looking to locate here that had a meeting this morning to kind of get an update on that. That's looking very positive for the next couple of years. So, we couldn't be in a better spot. And so it's up to us to take advantage of these things. We've got to work on the quality of life initiatives, got to work on workforce development, we've got to work on housing, all those things. And that's what we're going to be talking about and really pushing forward with in 2023.
Well, looking forward to 2023. Thanks for having us. Would you like to do maybe a holiday message?
Yeah, I'd love to do that. I appreciate you coming over here and doing this. I've been part of this now for 15 years. It's awesome. I really enjoy it. It gets a lot of positive feedback from the community. So I'm glad you're continuing to do this. But yeah, just, I wish everybody to have a healthy and safe holiday season. And, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to everybody in our community. Great things are coming. I hope things are going well in your family, and we continue to make Terre Haute a better place.
Thank you.